Thank you, God. The more we worship, the better we feel. The better we feel, the more we'll worship. What an awesome God we serve. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Thank you, God. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you've all heard, we'll be talking more about worship at FAB Live on Thursday night, 6:30 on Zoom and on Facebook. Please join us. And again, women, let's get ready for that celebration, the culmination of National Women's History Month, the end of this month as well. Our scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And it reads, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, right now we ask in a special way that you speak to us. We, your servants, those in the building, those online, those who will hear this word, speak to us, God, that we, your servants, might hear, but not just be hearers, that we may be followers of your word to do your will. Bless now, God, in the name of Jesus. Have your way. Amen and amen. Our subject, get in and stay in the right game. Get in and stay in the right game. Team sports are incredible. Many of us have favorite teams, and we love our teams. From Pop Warner to professional, high school to college. Maybe soccer, maybe hockey, Gold Ghost Pirates, maybe baseball, maybe football, and basketball, just to name a few. So let me ask you, this is not rhetorical, I actually want you to answer out. First, what's your favorite football team? What's your favorite football team? All right, let me do it this way. What's your favorite high school football team? There you go. All right. What's your favorite college football team? All right. So what's your professional football team? Favorite football team? All right, well, let's go to basketball team. What's your favorite high school basketball team? What's your favorite college basketball team? All right. What's your favorite professional basketball team? we get excited and sometimes even defensive about our teams. You know, your team wins the championship and we act as if we won. As if they're going to send us a check. It's very exciting. It's very entertaining. But somehow, sometimes we actually think that by watching a particular sport, that it's going to help or make it even possible for our team to win. Even on television, even if we're watching on our phones, even if we're watching on iPad, how we're watching, we holler at the coach, we holler at the players, as if it's going to really make a difference. Like they can hear us. It's a great stress reliever and it's entertaining. But y'all, let me help you with something. Y'all do know that the only reason the University of Georgia football team won the championship twice, I'm going to tell you how and why. The only reason they won is because my daughter Treneal called me and made sure that I watched every University of Georgia football game. And if I was late, they were losing. She said, Dad, you're not on. You need to get on and watch University of Georgia. And because she graduated there and everything, she's like, so I'm watching all the games. And I know that the reason they got their championship twice, because for 2 years, she made me watch every game of the University of Georgia. That's how they got to be champions. I had to watch them. And they won. Well, let me also throw out, my daughter also calls me and makes sure I watch every Falcons game too. Y'all know how that turned out, right? well, you know that we all want to be a part of a winning team. Team sports are very helpful in learning the process of life. We can learn from that in which we spend so much time. Team sports teaches us how to work together as a team. Must work together and must follow the rules of the game. You can get on the field or on the court, and when you get on the field or the court, you can't make up your own rules. You can't just do it the way you want to do it because that's how you feel. If you're going to play, you must play by the rules of that sport or you won't definitely win. And you must play as a team, and if you fail to work together, you could cause the team not to have a victory. If you don't work together, your existence as a winning team will just be in vain. So we who are in Christ are on a winning team. We're on a team that has already won. But even though we know the outcome, even though we know the end results, we still have to show up every day and work together for victory that will come. We're working our hardest to make sure we all win. God has so orchestrated this world and this plan, that this whole process he's orchestrated so that everyone living and breathing today, right now, can be on the winning team. We are all in the game of life, and you get to choose which team you're going to be on and which game you're going to play. Seeing that we all truly desire to win in this game called life, let's look at how we can get in and stay in the right game. First, professionally speaking, we play with and for the owner. The difference between amateur sports and professional sports really used to be that you only got paid in professional sports. But who pays you? It's the owners of the team. Notice this. In professional sports, you never make more than the owner. All the professional players might love the team that they're on at this particular point, but the owner can suspend them, trade them, fire them. It's his team. It's her team. Doesn't really matter how much you love the team and your teammates. Are you making the money? Or can they make more money with you being somewhere else? It's their team. Even the fans turn on the players who they at one point loved. And at some point, players get too old and they have to retire. And the owners get younger and better players who will also be replaced. But in the right game, the owner loves and cares about you as a player in the game. The owner provides for, he guides, he strengthens, he protects, he blesses all members of his team. I want you to know we play for the owner. Yeah. But not only do we play for the owner, we play with the owner. That's the difference in the right game. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The owner of our team is in the right game, and he plays in the game of life with us. We play with him. God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, who works in us and through us, so his will might be done. We're working so his will might be done. We're working so the will of the owner might be done. And he's working in us and through us to get his will done. I know somebody said, well, Pastor, what is his will? What is his will? It's his will that none should perish. God has so orchestrated this that he put something in place that everybody gets an opportunity to know who he is and get to love him as he loves us. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Yes. We work for the owner and we play with the owner. The owner is with us and guiding us and keeping us and helping us. Second point is we must play and work together. 2 Corinthians 6:1 again says, working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. If we are to truly win in the right game, we must play and work together. We must play and work together. For what purpose? Why are we winning? What are we trying to win? We are playing and working to win the souls of those who may not yet know God. It's his will that none should perish. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Working with him then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Did you hear that? Now is the day of salvation. When should we reach out and win the lost for Christ? Now is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we reach out to win those who don't know Christ, to come to know Christ. Now is the time to reaching those. 2 Corinthians 5:11 says, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. We persuade others to come to know Christ. We persuade others to know that God loves us, God cares for us. We persuade others to know how much God cares, how much God loves us, how much God has forgiven us for all of our unrighteousness. The Bible is clear. We all have sinned and come short. I said the Bible is clear. We all have sinned and have... I said the Bible is clear. I said the Bible is clear. We all have sinned. I know sometimes we get in worship. You know, we dress up a little bit. We get in worship. You know, we come in and, you know, holy, holy, holy. But the Bible is clear. We all have sinned. And there's no sense in any of us looking down on anybody else for the sins they've done. We've come into a place of healing. We've come into a place of being able to come together and look to God and say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me for all my stuff. Thank you for allowing me to be on your team. We persuade others. We recruit others. That's what we do as team members. We recruit others, those who may not know him. We recruit them, but not only do we recruit them, we work alongside them. We play together. We work together. We work together with him, our creator and sustainer of life. Now is the right time to lead those who don't know Christ to come to know him. Now is the right time to reach out to those who may be down, depressed, lonely, don't know which way to turn. Now is the time when there's so many people around us who we visit, who we see, and who see us. Now is the time. You say, well, Pastor, I don't really know anybody who's not saved. All my friends are saved. Well, get some other friends. There's some folk that need you to help them to see Christ. And if all your friends are unsaved, get some other friends. You need to have someone who can encourage you and help you to grow in Christ and get to know Christ. We all should be inviting folk into our sphere so that they can come to know Christ. They can see the goodness of God by looking at how we live, how we talk, how we walk, the things we do. They can see the transformation in our lives because we've come to know him. They can see that with us and in us. They can hear and see our kindness, how we give and how we share and how we go out of the way for others. And they'll say, why are you doing this for me? I don't know you. You don't really know me like that. You're doing more for me than my family. You're doing more for me than friends. And you say, I'm not doing it because I'm so smart, I'm so gifted. I'm doing it for you because God has done it for me. What a mighty God we serve. We're recruiting others. We persuade others. We persuade others. And I'm telling you, I keep coming to us First African Baptist Church. We need to have lines of people coming to be baptized on the first Sunday of every month because all of us have been out there persuading others to come to Christ. We've been doing our part to let those who don't know Christ come to know Christ. We've been doing our part to say, listen, God loves you. God cares for you. And he shows that even through working in me, how much he loves you, how much he cares for you. We have to do our part. We're all on the team. We must recruit others to be on the right team and in the right game at the right time. And lastly, I really want to admonish each one of us, stay in the right game. Stay in the right game. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15 says, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sakes died and was raised. Wow. Because of what God has done, we live for him. Because he sent his son Jesus, who died for our sins, rose from the grave, we live for a God who loves and cares for us, a God who forgives us, a God who says, follow me. And he means we have to forgive others as God has forgiven us. We have to love others as God loves us. We have to care for others as God cares for us. We have to transform our way of thinking. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We have to allow God to move in us in such a special way, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say, Lord, fix my mind. Ooh, praise his name. God can move in us in such a special way and begin to do it. I need to encourage us, need to encourage those who've accepted Christ. Sometimes it seemed dark. Sometimes it seemed dismal. Sometimes it seemed like family members and friends and others are not paying attention to the message you're doing your best to give them about Christ. Sometimes it seemed like they're turning a deaf ear to you. But I want to go to Galatians 6 and 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season, you will reap if you do not give up. In due season, you will reap if you do not give up. I like this because it said due season. Because you know that's when games are played. Games are played during various seasons. You know, there's football season, there's basketball season, there's baseball. There's seasons, plays and seasons. So I like it says, he says, hang in there. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. Due season is on the way. Hang in there. But play the right game. Play the right game. Now I know you're saying to me, Pastor, what are you talking about when you talk about the right game? When you say play the right game, I need you to imagine something with me. And I don't get all the acronyms and everything right for sports. I'm going to do a sports analogy. So, you know, you can correct me later. You know, y'all can do it online. You know, say, Pastor, that's not how that works. But I want to use an analogy, and I want you to just work with me. If you don't know a lot about sports, I'm trying to keep it very simple so it's something we all can understand. I want you to imagine with me that we are actually on God's team, and God has a team, and we're well-versed in the team God has. And I want you to know that God has us on the team of basketball. We are a basketball team. I just want you to imagine that with me. God's team is in the game of basketball. We're playing basketball. We've learned all the moves. We know how to shoot three-point shots. There you go. We learned how to do that. Even better than Stephen Curry. I know, don't get mad. We learn how to do threes. We learn how to dribble. We can just dribble. We've been practicing. We know how to dribble. We can do threes. Listen, we know how to do defense. We know how to play offense. We got it down. We know how to dunk the ball. Because we're on God's team, and God's team is basketball. We got basketball down to a science. We can do everything God wants us to do with the ball. We can do it. We come in right. Doesn't matter if the crowd is for us or against us. We're just doing what we can do because we know basketball, and we are playing the game. God is our coach. I mean, Jesus is there with the Holy Spirit's guidance. We have everything we need to do what we can to win at the game of basketball. But we've been taught. We got basketball down. Do y'all hear me? What do we have down, Pat? Basketball. That's our sport. That's our team. We're on the basketball team. We're the best thing. Nobody going to beat us at basketball. We got it down. We know the rules. We know what to wear. We know exactly what shoes they have. We know everything. So we got basketball. But now I want you to also imagine with me that Satan's team, well-versed in football. That's Satan's team is football. They geared up for it. They play football all the time. They stay up all night long practicing football. They got football down to a science. You can't beat them at football. They practice it. They know the plays. They know how to score. They score even if you don't expect. They got so many. Oh, my goodness. They got so many trick plays. You can't believe how many trick plays Satan got on that team. They got all the trick plays you could possibly have. They know how to win at football. They're ruthless. They're tough. They're always running. They got on all the pads. They got on the cleats. They got on the helmets. They have on the pad. They got everything they need to play. They really can play football. They're the best at football. You're not going to be Satan's team at football. They rough and they tough. They got no heart at all. As long as we're playing basketball and on the basketball court, we win. Let me say it again. That's the point. As long as we're playing basketball and we're on the basketball court, we win. God teams win when you stay on the court. But the moment we drawn off the basketball court and we run onto the football field, all bets are off. Let me just ask you something. What do basketball players wear? Go ahead. What do basketball players wear? Jersey, shorts, socks, shoes. Right? You got headbands, yeah, whatever. All right. What do football players wear? Helmets, pads, cleats, uniform, everything. The little black stuff under the eyes. That's football. But there's a reason for that. See, if you're on the basketball court and you're following the instructions and the rules of basketball, you got that down. You've learned that. You're on the court. You're protected as long as you're on the court. A football player can't run up in on the court. Because the moment they step on the court with cleats, they're told to get off. They got to get off the court. They can't be on the court in cleats. With everything, they got to protect the floor. So when you're there, everybody will make the football player leave the basketball court. But you can run out there on the football field if you want, and somebody throw you the ball. And here the team comes, and they're coming to tackle you. They're coming to get the ball. They're coming to do what they do. And you have no protection because you have no pads, no helmets. You're not prepared at all. You hit, down you go, and there you are on the field, bleeding mess, only because you were in a field you had no business being. Too many times. Too many times we allow Satan to pull us off the court right into the football field. We get hit. We get bruised. We get injured. We get mad. We want to get even. And instead of getting off the football field, get back to the court. We now try to play football in basketball attire. It won't work. Get back on the court. On the court, you have protection. On the court, you have direction. On the court, you have rules. What are you talking about, Pastor? What rules are you talking about? On the court, we know we have to love everybody. Yeah. On the court, we know we have to show compassion. Yeah. On the court, we know we have to give. Yeah. We know it's more blessed to give than to receive. Yeah. On the court, we know we have to forgive. Yeah. We forgive others their trespasses and ask God to forgive us our trespasses as we have forgiven others their trespasses. On the court, we know how to do what God says do. He says, and for me, if you're with me, it doesn't matter who's against you. It doesn't matter what the team throws your way. But if you're with God, he says, I got you. I'll protect you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. He says everything that he's prepared us for. He's prepared us to be with him. He's prepared to work with us on the court. But when we get in other places, we're allowing God to get away from us. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When we're yoked with Christ, we're close to Christ. And we're close to Christ when we're in his game, not some other game. He causes us to be with him. And in him we have protection. In him we have peace. In him we have joy. In him we have everything we could possibly ever need. He gives us everything we need. Choose your game. Choose your owner. Choose an owner who loves you and will not deceive you. and it's not about confusion and mess. Choose an owner that's going to keep you and sustain you and help you. Not only here, he will be with you to the very end. He's prepared a place for us where the wicked will cease from troubling and our weary souls will be at rest. He's prepared a place that when we've gone through all the trials and tribulations and hardships on this side, he's prepared us in such a way that when it's all over here, he says, come on up. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on and receive everything I have for you. Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and in prison and you visited me. We said, Lord, when did we do that? We said, in as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it also unto me. In his game, we have to love. In his game, we have to work together. In his game, we have to help others to know who he is. We recruit that they may come to know and love him. We're protected. Get in the game. Stay in the right game. God loves you. He'll protect us. I know there are some athletes that are good in more than one sport. Not us. Quit trying to play basketball and football. Choose God. Choose you this day who you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We get so confused about all the different things we do. Stay with God. It's March Madness. Yeah, don't get mad, just get glad. I'm glad to be in the number one more time. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Even when you're going through what God would have you go through, listen to what he tells us in his word. Because you say, well, I'm on the basketball court, and yet so much trouble coming my way. It seemed like Satan is on the court. Yeah, he'll slip on the court every once in a while. But you must understand, Jesus said this, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Didn't say the hell wouldn't show up. He said, would not prevail. So you understand how much God loves you and cares for you. He says, if you want to be blessed, he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Well, what's a Christian to do? The next verse says in Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. In other words, don't get mad, get glad. Tell the Lord, thank you. In the midst of what you're going, in everything, the Bible says, give thanks. We're protected. Even though we've sinned and come short, we're protected. But Pastor, how are we protected? I'm glad you asked. He's already done everything that needs to be done so we can have divine protection throughout eternity. What did he do? He sent his son Jesus through 42 generations. Who came to this earth? What about doing good? Out of all the good Jesus did, folk talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But look at what Jesus did as an example. Jesus stayed on the court. Jesus kept on playing the right game. He let them treat him all kind of ways. But look at what he did. He allowed them to put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head. And because he loved you and loved me so much, the Bible says he died. He died. He was placed in a borrowed tomb. Stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, I said early, on that Sunday morning, the Bible says he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death, power over Satan, power over hell, power over everything that could come against you. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us, to empower us, to work together with him, to do the work he called us to do, to work together with him, to work so those who don't know him will come to know him, to work together with him that he can make everything like he wants it to be. We ought to tell the Lord, thank you, because he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be praised. We got to thank him because he woke us up this morning. We got to thank him because he led us along the way.
We got to thank him because he's given us energy and strength. We got to thank him because he's given us a reasonable portion of health and strength. We got to thank him because he loves us so much. We got to thank him because he allows us to love others so much. We got to thank him because he brought us not just a mighty long way. We got to thank him because he brought us all the way. All the way our Savior brought us. All the way he keeps us and loves us. We got to thank him because he's always there. He said, no, never alone. He promised never to leave us, never to leave us alone. In the midnight hour, he's there. Early in the morning, he's there. In the noonday, he's there. When things are great, he's there. When things are bad, he's there. When you're sick, he's there. When you're troubled, he's there. When you're feeling well, he's there. In the hospital, he's there. In the doctor's office, he's there. Going to court, he's there. Seeing your attorney, he's there. Going to jail, he's there. Going to prison, he's there. Out of prison, he's there. Out of jail, he's there. Out of the hospital, he's there. Out of trouble, he's there. Everywhere you go, he's there. Oh, yes, and even when we die, even when it's all over, even when they say, the doctor say, I can't do anything else, guess what? He's there, because he said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't have to weep and cry. Know that everything is all right. I just got to tell the Lord, thank you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. He's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the honor. Stay on the court. Stay on the court. Stay on the court. They may talk about you. They may ridicule you. But stay on the court. Let God know. For you I live. And for you I die. Stay on the right game. Stay on the court. There may be those today who want to get in the right game. You've been on the field, but you want to get on the court. Now's a great time. You can come right now and say, Lord, I've sinned, I've messed up. All of us have. But I need you in my life. He gives you an opportunity to come to him and say, Lord, I need you in my life. If you're present in the building, we give you an opportunity to pray a prayer with me and then to come forward and receive the Lord into your life. There may be others who've already accepted Christ but do not have a church home. And we would love you to unite in fellowship with First African Baptist Church. Won't you come? And then yet, maybe those who are watching online, we say to you in a very special way, won't you come? You can even come to us. You can even come to us by coming to hear what we're saying on today. Let us know. You can type in the word saved on the number you see on the screen after we pray this prayer. Let's pray together. If you want to accept Christ, say, Father, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've done that, let us know online. And if you're here today and you want to accept Christ, just walk in there now. Give us your hand. Give God your heart. We thank God for you. What a mighty God we serve. We've done as the Lord commanded, yet there's still room. We have our benediction. Following our benediction, you're welcome to go, like to go, but following the benediction, we have a wedding. And if you would like to stay for the wedding, you are so in place to stay for the wedding. We'll take just a quick, maybe like a 5-minute break, and go right into the wedding following the benediction. Let us pray. God, our creator, sustainer, we thank you, we love you, we adore you for just blessing us and keeping us that we could come to this point at this time and recognize that we're on the winning side. God, help us to love you more and more. Help us to not be weary in well-doing, but in due season, know that we will reap if we faint not. Bless us, God, continually so we can be a blessing unto others. Be a blessing as you would have us to be.
And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, would rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the men and women of God say amen,
amen.
And praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.